The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Buckets. Mm-hmm. That's the name of my boat. Buckets.
Buckets. Buckets. What we get.
Not the only transfer we got from Florida. Buckets. Keith Stone, too. Remember that.
Everybody who watches his show on a regular basis knows my love of the stretch four.
You know, we all make mistakes. He might have made one going to Tallahassee.
It's mercy if y'all don't know.
Dribble to the left, cross over to the right. Hurricane to the game, many buckets for the night. Matt with the pin and roll, Melissa with the give it a go. This Shelly, you pretty girl, dunking in the hole. Check the scoreboard, this what we fall for. Peep the gameplay, they want an encore. Yeah, over time for another round. It's buckets after buckets, baby. You out of town. It's buckets. What it is, homie, it's buckets. Woo! We get buckets. Yeah, baby. Buckets. Buckets.
I have no shame.
I know. That's the problem.
You guys are awesome.
All right. Jalen Blackman. The guard, 6'3 guard from Stetson. So he played 2 years at Stetson after playing his freshman year at GCU. He was one of the nation's top scorers, 21.3 points per game. Shot 42.8% from the field, 38.1 from three, and shot over 90% from the line, from the free throw line. So I'm very intrigued with this ad. Because he was obviously able to create his own offense at Stetson. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with the jump up and level. Like, obviously he can shoot, but is it going to be more of catch and shoot, or is he going to be able to still create his own offense against better competition? So I'm interested to hear your guys' opinions. Matt?
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, so – played at Stetson. They play in the Atlantic Sun. It's not the most competitive division, or, you know, when you're looking at other conferences and whatnot. I think he's a really talented offensive player. I think the big thing for him is he played next to a guard that was strictly like a traditional point guard that was solely like a playmaker. So he wasn't really looked at to do that. And I think that's something we're going to need him to do. I'm not saying that's not in his game. I think it's going to be an adjustment for him, because we need a guy that can be a playmaker next to Nigel, right? It can't just only be Nigel. I think offensively, like, I think the shooting will translate. I think he will be able to create for himself. He's a really good slasher. I think those things will translate. It's just how successful will he be? Sorry, did you guys hear the birds flying by? to me, he has, I think out of any guy, he has like the biggest like variance of like what we could get. Does that make sense?
I agree with you.
Could be an all ACC like second team guy.
Or it could be a bust.
I don't know about bust, or like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I totally agree with Matt on this.
I think the big question is how does his game translate to a higher level? Because
I mean, yeah, no, absolutely, Melissa. And this is what we were just talking about with Brandon Johnson, where like he shoots, he's good at shooting open jumpers, and he should get those. here because yeah. we have Nigel and Jaleel and Matthew to create those shots. In this case, it's much more of a creating your own offense. So to Matt's point, like he could blossom here, or it could be a bridge too far, and then you know he could struggle. I don't think it's going to be total bust, but you know.
Well,
it's
then a lot the other thing too, variability. Like, and we haven't talked about him yet, is like how good is Jaleel Bethea too?
That's what I was going to ask. I was like, who's starting at the two?
I just think there's so many like variables with it that it's just so hard to tell. I wouldn't be surprised if he came out and just asserted himself and he was, you know, putting up like 15 a game consistently or whatever. But I don't know. It's tough to say. He has the talent for sure.
Yeah. It will help him play next to Nigel. Like, I think, you know, they have to cover Nigel at half court, which just opens the court up for everyone. So that'll help him. But yeah. But like,
well, and that's why like there was so much pressure on Nigel last season because no one could take advantage of all of the spacing that we had right on offense with Nigel being covered at half court or being double teams or whatever. Right. But, you know, hopefully, you know, Jaleel Bethea can both capitalize on that.
Yeah. And think of like even more spacing that we're going to be able to have with Brandon Johnson being that stretch forward type guy. You got Matthew Cleveland at the three who can shoot the three, who can drive, who can take a mid-range jumper. Nigel obviously can shoot from outside the gym.
And then
Blackman has that ability to shoot threes. Like there's the spacing's going to be even better. And Vish said it before, how we've rebuilt this team, it's much more even and it you know, we don't have to talk about, oh my God, better, really small.
Yeah.
Better constructed.
It's a better fit. I will say too, like the thing that I didn't mention about Lynn Kidd is like he's not this guy that's just gonna stand in the post and just camp out there, right? Like he's very mobile. He's gonna come out, set ball screens, do dribble handoffs. He's very active for his size too. So, you know, we are going to be playing in space, even though he isn't someone that is going to, you know, knock down perimeter shots. There is still going to be floor spacing because of the way he plays.
So do we agree that Blackman could possibly be an all ACC, team possibly, or, you know, it kind of just depends on that jump and how his offense translates. So kind of like high ceiling an ACC team, low ceiling kind of more of just a role guy, low ceiling or low or the floor.
I think it's gonna be, I mean, he could, if we're really good, like part of this is again how good the team is, if we're really good he could sneak into the back half, like, you know, third team honorable mention or something. But the other thing to look at is, you know, where is he on the pecking order of our roster,
and then does he start? That's, I mean,
I would be shocked if he's not starting game one.
But does he start the whole season? Yeah, Coach L is not known for starting freshmen, but
it's questionable if he starts the whole season. Yeah. But also just in
terms of, I will say if Jaleel Blackman is like an all ACC player, then we're gonna be a really fucking good team.
Well, we'll have to be, because they're not gonna, this is what I was getting at. Third, fourth, fifth best player in your team. If he's making all ACC, it's because you've, you know, won the conference or like, I mean, that's how you start stuffing those rosters with your players. Because, like, after the first few guys, frankly, these guys aren't watching games anyway. They're just like, who's good? And they start taking players off of their roster, right? So I think it's more dependent on how good the team is. But, no, he's a very positive addition. And, just, you know, the theme as we're going through this, the roster construction is so much better. And this is just another part of that. This is a natural shooting guard that'll play well off Nigel.
And we have more bodies.
Well, last year we were running 2 point guards, right?
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, hey, this fits. Last year, you know, we already talked about these plays, but Matthew Cleveland was playing out of position at the four. Now he's at his position. We have an actual four. So, and our center is actually tall. Like, we've kind of constructed him. We've gone through a starting five now, likely for the first game. And it's a much better constructed roster.
Yeah. And I will say, no matter what, too, I think we referenced this like a decent amount on the show, is like we really missed Isaiah Wong's like slashing ability, his ability to put pressure on the rim, force the defense to collapse. And I think Jaleel will bring that, you know, because that is a big part of his game.
I'm excited for the ball movement opportunities with this team. I think we can create a lot of offense, which will be nice. Anything else on Jalen before we move on to our last transfer?
No, I think that's all right.
Last transfer, Kyrie Huey from Idaho State, the 6'9 junior. Well, he'll be a senior, averaged 11.3 points and 5.8 rebounds per game. Shot 58.7% from the free throw line, 53.6 from the field. He played center for Idaho State at 6'9. My expectation for him is to be a depth piece and a backup.
Yeah, but I think also being like, you know, we haven't really had that experienced, you know, big man as a backup. And I think, you know, if he can put together a solid role in that regard, then it would be huge for us, you know, because there's going to be games where we have guys that get into foul trouble. Like, it's going to happen.
This is another guy where you see that jump. Like, how is he going to respond to playing in the ACC coming from what conference is Idaho State even in? I don't even know.
It's the same as Montana and Montana State, I think.
Yeah, Matt's two favorite teams.
That's a big rivalry. Come on now.
Thrilling battle there. Yeah, no,
Big Sky. They're in the Big Sky.
I think that is actually the same conference as well.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It is, because I'm looking at their schedule.
I know Montana State play. I know that.
They lost to Montana in the Big Sky semifinal championship postseason.
Yeah. So. I mean,
the other thing
I would say, a little bit better conference than the ASUN, but you know, still.
But it's also, it's good to have a big in there that, and actually, Matt and I talked about this a little bit with, who was the other white dude on Duke, not Filipowski, as backup?
TJ Power.
Was that the dude's name? 15, I think.
Oh, Ryan Young.
Yeah, so he.
I thought you meant the guy that entered the portal. Sorry.
No. So this dude would come in, and I was almost jealous because he would come in, foul everyone, run into people, elbow people. Doesn't matter. You're the backup big. I'm just gonna fuck shit up, grab rebounds. I don't care if I go over the back. We haven't had that because we haven't had a backup big. And
Norchad played that way where he didn't give a fuck and fouled everybody too. So
he has low IQ basket, but.
But there's a difference in what he was doing and
what these guys are doing. Yeah, no, but you need that guy that's like, it doesn't matter if I get 3 fouls in 5 minutes. I'm going to go in there.
There's a difference in fouling someone at the rim versus fouling them like 40 feet away from the basket.
This is true, but I think, you know, having that a big that can kind of go in there and play with a little bit of, play a little recklessly, you know, give that energy off the bench, and it doesn't matter if he picks up fouls. You know, I think that's something we haven't had. You see some of the better teams have that, where it's like, yeah, I'm going to give, you know, my all ACC guy a rest. And yeah, the talent's going to drop off, but now I got someone else in there that's going to change the energy a little bit. And, you know, when you're even 2 years ago, you're coming with Anthony Walker and all of that, and he brought the energy, but he's not big, right? I mean, he's playing out of position. And last year we didn't have a backup at all, really. So I'm looking forward to that. Like, hey, we can actually run multiple bigs at you, and you know, the back can really come in there and make
it. I will say Lynn Kidd is more like on the scrawny side a little bit, whereas Kyrie is 6'9", 220. So he's got a little padding on him. So a little bit more muscle.
Some padding on him. Some
some muscle. So, but yeah, we kind of have like a 3-guy rotation of bigs, because you got Brandon Johnson at the 4, and then you've got Kyrie and you've got Lynn Kidd. So you've got height, which
when I. Yeah, and I think we have, like, versatility across the board, and, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, depending on who we're playing, you know, you see someone like, you know, Brandon Johnson at the 5, and then Matthew Cleveland's at the 4, you know, if it's depending on personnel, right?
Yeah.
Just because of how many guards we have, you know, again.
More guards than Shawshank.
Yeah.
No, and actually, I was talking about this with someone on Twitter that I expect Cleveland to get minutes at the 4, depending on what we run out there, because you want to go like all guard lineup. You're going to throw like Nigel, Jalen, and Jaleel at the 1-2-3, and then you can throw Matthew Cleveland at the 4, and you can, and then either Brandon or Lynn Kidd at the 5, and then you got a really quick lineup.
Yeah, and like let's talk about this too, because this was brought up earlier of like who the backup 3 would be. I think it's like
I mean, it's.
I think it's the guard, whoever comes off the bench, whether it's.
Well, yeah. So. Yeah, so, the three guys that should be playing like at all times, right? It's Nigel, what do you call it? Jalen Blackman, Jaleel. They should all be.
Two of them should be in.
Two of them should be in at the same time, and then it's like if Cleveland isn't in, then them three are in, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe Schwartz.
Schwartz backing up Nigel.
Yeah, I think that Schwartz comes in and overpasses.
We'll get to him. We're going to get to him.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
We're going to pass Joe Bay.
Well, just you know, to close this point off, I think the big difference between last year and next year, hopefully, is when we choose to go small and play some of these lineups because we can, not because we have to.
And we have better talent.
There was no plan B last year. It's like, we got to do this. Don't have another option.
It's really hard to prepare for a team that can play in multiple ways. That's the biggest thing, right?
Because we can play small ball, and now we can play like a conventional basketball team too because of what we've added. So, and we've got shooters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, shall we move into the freshmen?
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about Jaleel. Go ahead, Matt.
I mean the highest rated recruit to ever come here. Phenomenal player. I fully expect him to be a top. I said top three pick. I'll hedge it a bit. Like top five pick in the NBA draft, just because of, you know, the potential and what he can do on the offensive side of the ball. I think his defense will come. No, but it's always tough with freshmen, especially with the ACC, with like Duke and UNC having, you know, a ton of freshmen as well. In terms of like
three freshmen in the top.
Yeah. In terms of guys making like an all ACC team and whatnot, I think we have some really good players. But I mean, it's tough to say with like we talked about Jalen Blackman and whatnot. But man, Jaleel is just so talented. I think, you know, no all matter ACC? What. All ACC team? I mean, definitely potential. But I think it's the same thing as, like, I mean, it's all dependent on how Jalen Blackman does. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know, Jaleel's still a freshman.
They're both taking a step up in competition. So it's kind of like, this is the ceiling, but this is also the floor.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, I mean, what if they're just both complete monsters, which is, you know, very likely to happen because they're both really good players. I mean, it's tough we would be talking about like three guys on all ACC teams then, three guards.
You would assume that him and Blackman at their best are going to get starters minutes, whether or not they're starting or not.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like that's probably the sixth man.
Whoever. Yeah, Jaleel is too talented to like not, you know, find ways for him to be on the floor.
I don't know that Jaleel begins the season starting because L doesn't usually start true freshmen. But at one point last season, Keyshawn George was starting over Bensley. So we have to see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
he's gonna win ACC Rookie of the Year. He's the best freshman in this conference and. Whether or not he starts,
put your flag.
Fuck that guy.
I love you, Fish. You're such a homer.
Seriously, that's fine. But like, I think, well, first of all, I think there's opportunities here for Jaleel and yeah, Toxic's right. Like, it's not really an exception. It's more what Melissa said. He's not generally Coach L's not just insert a true freshman in the lineup. Like Lonnie Walker had to earn his spot. There was never any doubt Lonnie Walker was going to be starting sooner rather than later. It was just like, all right, when's he going to do it? And I think we'll see something similar to that. And if it's actually a debate over whether Blackman is going to start over him, like by December, January, it's because Blackman is playing his ass off. But like, no, I think Jaleel's that good. And I think the thing that's going to stand out, like, I mean, we've seen the highlight clips, and obviously offense pays the bills, but like he's really good defensively too. And I think that's going to show out a lot, and that's what will separate him. And if we have if we have a big, if we have a good season, the awards are their individual awards, but their team awards masquerading as individual awards. If we have a really good season.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I think he'll win ACC Rookie of the Year and expect to have a really good season next year. And also, I think John Chart sucks, so I don't know what. Like, Duke was supposed to be unbeatable this year, and they weren't good.
And Julio said on the show, go back and watch that interview, that his passing is very underrated. So
yeah. Well, and that's the biggest thing. Like, we have guys. I mean, Jalen, I think he was a better passer than like stats show and whatnot. I think, you know, he was kind of just playing the role he needed to because of the personnel he was playing next to, but both guys have the ability to play make, right? So I think that's what's going to separate this team is like Nigel now has two guys next to him that can both score and create for others. So like, you know, you have to respect them as a defender. So It's going to be fun to watch.
You got three guys that can start at the one and the two that are really, really good shot makers in Blackman, Bethea, and Nigel. So it's exciting. They're not guys that are going to drive into a double team and turn the ball over. anything else to add? So our expectations are – Vicious Expectations is ACC Rookie of the Year, which – I guess maybe would make an ACC all ACC team Vish.
He'll fit in there somewhere. We're gonna see how they're.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say top three draft pick.
Okay, I think my expectation is definitely lottery pick, for sure. So all right, next freshman. Actually, one of my favorite players on the team. I'm excited to see what he does. Is Austin Swartz? I don't think he gets talked about enough. My expectation for him is to be in the rotation. I think he's going to be a solid backup guard off the bench. And I think we talked about this before and compared him to Bruce Brown, where like in his sophomore year, he kind of becomes the guy. So I could maybe see that. But as far as his freshman year, I think he gets minutes off the bench and is a solid backup guard. That's my expectation.
Vish, or you want me to go?
Now you can go.
I think definitely not as talked about as much as, you know, he should be. I think he'll for sure be in the rotation. I think it might not be as much at the start of the season, but I think we'll definitely see some more minutes for him. I think he's going to be too good to not, you know, at least play a decent amount. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if we have a guy out or whatever and he's asked to step up if he has, you know, a crazy offensive output because he has that ability as a true freshman. So, but I think he's going to be really big for us next year.
He's a top 50 guy.
Yeah. Bill asked earlier who the backup three is. I think it's partially him, partially, as we mentioned, three guard lineups, which is why Joe Bay shouldn't be near the court. No, he's got high upside. I don't know if he's as polished right now. And, you know, L is reluctant to trust freshmen, but no, I think he'll get some minutes as a backup three, but not that many, you know, low double digits. Not because of his ability, just because like as you said, I think by the time we're turning the corner into the new year, we expect Jaleel, Nigel, and Jalen to be getting a lot of minutes and Matthew to be getting a lot of minutes, which means, you know, when Matthew goes out for rest, we're probably going to play a lot more three guard than we will Austin Swartz playing on the wing. But I think he'll force himself to get some minutes. And I think there'll be – I'll put it this way. I think at some point next year, he will win us a game. He'll come in, he'll be playing well, and Coach L just ride with him and he'll win us a game.
Bill says we need to get him minutes.
All right. Spoiler alert. I know we're talking about the 24-25 season. Everyone, be prepared. 25-26, we're going to suck ass. Everyone is leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's kind of going to be like after the 2012-2013 season.
Yeah, I mean, look, Nigel's gone. Matthew's gone. Jaleel's going to the draft. Jalen Blackman's gone. Brandon Johnson's gone, too. Lynn Kidd's gone. Like, you're not – look, it's going to – we're going to be bad that year.
Unless L can, like, massively recruit the portal.
It's still – look, you still – we talked about this earlier with, like, Lynn Kidd forming the foundation of the team in terms of just being solid anchor at the center position. Like, you can't overturn the entire roster with portal and be like, Austin Schwartz is your only returning player, forget starter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, look, we can get guys, but, like, dude – like, it's just, it's really hard. In fact, this is one of the reasons Calipari's team started failing, right? Like, I mean, as people got better at roster construction, it's not enough to just roll the ball out there with five talented guys.
Well, especially when they're mainly freshmen, too.
Right, and I think that's likely what our 25-26 season is going to look like. It's going to be
a lot of young guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be as much as like all we real. I mean, we lost some guys this year, but there are peripheral guys other than Norchad and Wooger were starters, right? But it's not, you know, we still have a base there because we have Nigel and we have Matthew, who are two really good players, and we got other, you know, good complementary pieces. But when the whole roster leaves, which is necessarily going to happen next year, it's going to be rough.
Yeah. All right. Next freshman, Isaiah Johnson Arugu. Arigu? I don't know. He's kind of like a 3/4 type of guy.
Yeah, I'd see a bit part for him next year. I think the minutes he gets will probably be at the 4.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's going to play much. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I like him moving forward. I think he's going to be big for us. I think his versatility, I think he's going to be a leader for us on the defensive side of the floor. I like him in that regard, but I think definitely, yeah, like take this year to improve, you know, individually, whatnot, work on your offensive game.
And I'd also say like the position we're going to ask him to play requires a lot of physicality. He'll be well served by a year in the offseason training program to bulk up. Cause he's not going to just stand on the perimeter and shoot, which, you know, as a freshman, you can get away with and like, oh yeah, this guy can hit a jumper. We'll get him out there and get him some minutes. We're going to ask him to kind of bang in the post and stuff. And I don't expect much from him next year. I will say, you know, someone gets in foul trouble, whatever, and we need to go deeper into our rotation, I'd much rather have him get that call than Joe Bay. They kind of play the same position.
I agree.
I would rather him on the court than Joe Bay.
Agreed. Anything else before we hit our last freshman?
Yeah, just when Duke gets eliminated in the first or second round of the NCAA tournament, remember this.
I don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name, but his first name is Divine. He's the most recent commit from Texas, I believe. I guess Baylor was after him, too. He didn't want to be like that stupid thing, Sikkim, so he came to us. I think this is another just like, kind of like Isaiah, where we won't see much of him. He's more going to develop, and we'll see how that goes. I don't expect to see a lot of him on the court.
Matt, yeah, I'll just go quickly. I don't think he's going to play at all.
Yeah.
Red shirt, unless we have injuries.
Same.
Okay. That's the whole lineup. We went through everybody. I actually feel a little bit more confident about this team after talking about all of our players. So do we quickly want to give our way too early predictions for where we finish in the ACC and expectations into the tournament? I'll go first if you want me to.
I mean, I'll go. I'm going to pass on the expectations for the tournament because who the F?
You never know.
We were 3 minutes away from losing to Drake.
As far as the ACC is concerned, I expect to have a double bye, which means top four.
That's exactly where I was going with it. Double bye.
Yeah, top four. Matt?
I'd go like the 4-5 range. I haven't looked enough at, you know, the rest of the ACC yet.
We shouldn't be playing on the first day, basically.
Yeah, I would say 4-5 range, just to, you know.
The season ain't ending on the Tuesday.
And we'll also, and my expectation is top four and we make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no, I think if we're top four.
Oh yeah, I think if we're just mentioning, yeah, I think for sure.
So the other thing I will keep in mind, hopefully this isn't relevant to us, but you know, Cal, Stanford, SMU would join the conference. There's a few teams that don't make the ACC tournament, which would have been us this year.
This is the bottom two, right?
I think the bottom three that aren't going to make it, because they're going to keep the same format essentially and cut it off at 15. There's 18 teams again, so it's a little bit different. It's going to be a weird season. The one of the things that happens, because we're talking, you know, top four, 4/5, a lot of that is schedule balance within the conference. Two teams in the same conference play radically different schedules now, and there's 18 teams in there, and you're playing, you know, a couple of them twice and most of them one time. And you know, we're one of the travel teams this year, which means we're going to the Bay Area to play those games. Not everyone has to do that. There's a pretty big difference between flying cross country and playing two games and receiving teams that flew cross country to play two games against you. You know, that's a lot of games in the standings of like disadvantage. So we'll see how that all plays out. It's going to be a convoluted conference, but we're going to be good.
The All Coast Conference.
Yes, and I would be surprised if we fill those two spots. It's kind of a waste to do that.
I think we try to fill one.
You got to get someone worthy of the scholarship. We already reached for one. Like the last recruit, we got Divine as a reach. And we're all like, I should probably redshirt. Like, I don't know how much of that you want. I think we'll be opportunistic, but
I think if you can find a quality 4 or 5, you go after it.
I think if you think there's someone that can contribute, period. Even maybe next year, not this upcoming year, you know, I think you go for it. But what you're not going to do is fill it with someone that, you know, you don't think is going to play. And if you look,
scholarship,
Well, I mean, if you look across college basketball now, no one's filling all their scholarships because, I mean, Calipari was actually talking about this at Arkansas. So I was like, I just want 6 or 7 scholarship players because everyone else I'm just developing them for whoever they're going to transfer to next. Now. Part of that is because he came into an empty roster and doesn't have enough players to fill it, but there is some merit to that, right? If you don't think this guy is, one, going to meaningfully contribute in the upcoming season, which it's hard to imagine any transfer coming in at this stage doing that, or two, going to stick around beyond that, it's not even worth doing. So I'd be moderately surprised if we fill either of those, and we definitely don't need to. So everyone, don't stress and be like, why didn't we fill it? Like, it's worthless unless you really get a guy that's gonna upset the pecking order we just spent the last hour talking about. Yep.
And we're already way better off than we were last season. So
we've constructed a more
balanced.
Cohesive lineup than we did last year.
So,
but a large part of that is we actually brought in a real freshman class that's high quality because we haven't done that in a long time. And so if you look at, like, if you take Jaleel and Austin Schwartz and Johnson Arigo off the team, all of a sudden we don't have depth. You know, it's the same problems as like, we don't have depth. We need this, we need that. But because we know we can plug in at least, I mean, Jaleel's going to be one of the best players in the ACC. And then also, Austin Schwartz is certainly someone you expect to be able to count as at least a role player. You know, that's one of the things we've been missing for a while now is impact freshmen. So that's positive.
Anything else to add before we move into Mount Rushmore?
No. I think the thing I'll say overall, too, is like expect a more like cohesive unit, you know, like Vicious said. But I mean, expect like a smarter team as well too. You know, we have a lot of upperclassmen coming in that I think are high IQ guys. I want to see the turnover percentage go down, things of that nature, less defensive breakdowns, and I think we will this season.
the other thing I will say is, like, coming off the Final Four, I think we got a lot of big heads, not just on the players, the three of us too.
It's all on the internet. You can go
back. And I think as a program, we've been humbled. And I think there'll probably be a better, and this is Nigel excluded from this because he gave everything he had for this team. I don't know that everyone else was doing that last year. And I think there'll be, as Matt said, not just more cohesion and better chemistry, but just more willingness to sacrifice for the team's good, which I think after making the Final Four, we, like a lot of players, us as fans, got big heads. And, you know, it was more about kind of personal achievements over maybe what's good for the team. And you have four or five guys doing that, and the next thing the team stinks. And I think that's where I landed. So if the way the last season ended and you know, the losing streak and all that did not humble this team and this program, then we're screwed. But I can't imagine it didn't.
Cue the Sox outro. Don't cry. Keep it chill. Wear good socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.